Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. In this series, Pastor Rick takes an in-depth look at God's provision for you, from His constant presence to His purpose for your life and His preparation for a place for you in heaven. In just a bit, we're going to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box, a beautifully adorned gold vegan leather box filled with multicolored, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards. It's perfect for filling your mind with God's Word. And you can take a sneak peek right now while you listen to today's broadcast just by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's teaching. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life.
Now, you need joy in your life. This is not just some casual thing that, it'd be nice to have. You have a fundamental emotional need for joy in your life. Life without joy is overwhelming. Life without joy is overburdened. Life without joy is oppressive. Studies have actually shown that the more joy we have in our lives, the more productive we are. In fact, I read last night an article by U.S. News and World Report saying that corporations are now hiring joy consultants to kind of pop up and build up the joy in people's lives so that all the employees will be more productive. That it is true that you have more energy, more creativity, more productivity, the more joy you have in your life. Now, for several weeks, we've been in this series on how God wants to meet your deepest needs. And that includes your need for joy. In fact, one of the names of God over in Psalm 43, in the Hebrew, the Bible says God's name is El Simchath Gali, which means, I am the God of exceeding joy. I am the God that knows how to party. I am the God of overflowing, abundant joy. Now, when you talk about joy, of course, you have to go to the book of Philippians. That little short book in the New Testament, it's only four chapters long, but 16 times in four chapters, Paul says, rejoice, be joyful, enjoy life. 16 times he uses the word joy in four chapters. Now, the amazing thing is, Paul didn't write this book while he was on vacation in, you know, the Caribbean. He was in prison, in a dungeon, in Rome, awaiting to be executed. And in the darkest days of his life, he writes the most positive book in the Bible. And he gives us his six joy builders. They are the opposite of the joy busters in life. They are the antidotes to the killjoys of life. And to help you remember them today, I put them in a little acrostic, J-O-Y-F-U-L. Six joy builders. If you will get out a piece of paper, write these down, and begin to practice these things in your life, you will find depression lifting, discouragement diffusing, and a new sense of joy in your life, which you need. Number one, the J in joyful stands for jettison all regrets about my past. Jettison all regrets about my past. Now, you know what jettison means. It means to throw overboard. And whether it's an airplane that's trying to lighten its load by throwing out cargo so it can stay aloft, or it's a boat trying to stay afloat and so they throw the cargo overboard, jettison means to abandon as worthless, to discard, to eliminate, to get rid of. And Paul says if you want to enjoy life, there are some things you got to chuck. There are some things you got to get rid of. There are some things you have to throw overboard in your life because they are wearing you down and they are overburdening your life. And the first thing he says you got to jettison is regrets about the past. Now, we all have regrets. I mean, everybody's got skeletons in the closet because nobody's perfect. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes series, once decided to play a prank on some very important people in England, and so he wrote an anonymous note to eight prominent men in England, and the note said, unsigned, all is found out, flee at once. And he just wanted to see what would happen. In 24 hours, all eight men had left the country. Now, I'm sure we could find out certain things about you that would cause you to want to leave this service right now. But we all have regrets. The only problem with regret is it doesn't work. It cannot change your past. And so it just makes you miserable. When we get stuck in the land of if onlys, if only I could redo my life, if only I could change things, if only I could relive that part, if only I could resolve things differently and make different decisions. Well, you can't. And so it's not going to change by regretting. Regretting is just a waste of time. You say, well, what do I do? The Bible says forget it. Did you know that once you forget it, then you can get on with your life? I say, well, how can I do that? You can forget it because God does. The Bible says that when we come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry, I've blown it, I've made a mistake. When we come to Christ and we confess our sins to him, that he takes those sins, he throws them in the deepest parts up the part of the ocean, and he puts up a no fishing sign. And the Bible says, their sins will I remember no more. That's an amazing verse. That the God of the universe chooses to forget your mistakes once they're confessed.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
In order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need to have his word deep down in our hearts. Right now, we'd like to tell you about the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This beautiful gold vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated and inspiring scripture cards, along with well-designed blank cards for your personal notes and observations. This resource will help you memorize God's word and will daily restore your sense of hope. The Verses of Hope Gold Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with his word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your living space. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift to support Daily Hope. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
Once again, here's Rick.
The Bible says that when we come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry, I've blown it, I've made a mistake. When we come to Christ and we confess our sins to him, that he takes those sins, he throws them in the deepest part of the ocean, and he puts up a no fishing sign. And the Bible says, their sins will I remember no more. That's an amazing verse. That the God of the universe chooses to forget your mistakes once they're confessed. Now, if God can forget your mistakes and your sins, so can you. And then you can get on with life. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, this isn't on your outline, says, forget what happened in the past and don't dwell on events from long ago, because I'm going to do something new. The starting point of joy is to let go of the past. Jettison all regrets, the grief, the grudges, and the guilt. Then the O in joyful stands for omit all worries about my future. Now we got to face the other end of life. If you're going to enjoy the present, you must omit all worries about your future. And worry, hands down, is the greatest killjoy of them all. You cannot be joyful and worried at the same time. We've talked about this many times. Worry only makes things worse. The more you worry about something, the bigger it gets in your mind, turn mountain into molehills. Vice versa. Molehills into mountains. And it exaggerates and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind. Worry is just as useless as regret. You can't change the past. You can't change the future. So Paul's antidote are these verses. First, look at the first verse, Philippians 3:13. One thing I do is forget what is behind me and do my best to reach out what is ahead. Okay, circle the phrase, forget what is behind me. He says, I start by doing that. And then look at the next verse. And then he talks about the future. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He's saying there are 2 days you shouldn't worry about, yesterday and tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now, here's his alternative. You can either worry or you can pray. If you are worrying, it means one thing. You're not praying. If you are praying, you don't have to worry. So Paul says, if you want to be filled with joy, you got to forget the past and you got to forget the future. and you got to focus on right now. Don't worry and don't regret, because I have a plan for your life. Did you know that the old English word for worry is the word means to choke or to strangle? That's what the English word for worry means, to choke or to strangle. Today the word is necktie. Okay, now you've seen the coat, all right? We can take this off now. All right. Worry like a necktie can cut off the blood to your carotid artery. You can't think straight, and you can do really stupid things when you worry. Paul says, omit all worry about your future and instead pray. The Y in joyful stands for yield myself to God's purpose. Yield myself to God's purpose. Because a third killjoy in life is having no real purpose at all. If you're just drifting, if you don't know where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here, well, of course you're not going to have any joy in your life. You're just going to kind of cruise on autopilot through life, substituting happiness for joy, short-term pleasure for joy. You see, we all need a cause greater than ourselves for which to live for, and that is what brings us joy. Living for yourself does not bring joy. Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he has literally lost everything. He's old, he's in prison, he's in poor health, he's lonely, he's living in a dungeon in Rome, chained to a Roman Praetorian guard 24 hours a day. So they've taken away everything from this guy. He has no friends, he has no ministry, he has no freedom, he even has no privacy, since a guard is chained to him 24 hours a day. But there is one thing that they could not take away from Paul: his purpose in life. And so Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. The one word purpose: I live for Christ. In 2 Timothy, another book he wrote at the same time, he says, my only purpose in life is to please him. Now listen. If you want to have a joy-filled life, if you want to get out of the dumps and into the joy zone, you need to get in line with God's purpose for your life. You need to make that statement where you say, God, I give myself to you, and I want you to put your purpose in my life. And when you begin to live the purpose for which you were made, all of a sudden life makes sense, and all of a sudden the joy goes up. Look at this verse. Let's read it together, Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, to be tools in the hand of God, to be used for his good purpose. I dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer. The most dangerous prayer is the two words, use me. Use me. That's the most dangerous prayer you can ever pray. I prayed that prayer when I was 17 years old, and I had no idea for the adventure that I was in for. My only regret now is that I didn't pray it earlier, that I didn't pray it sooner, that I wasted even years before that. If you want to experience the joy that is beyond explanation, pray the prayer, use me, God, because there is no greater thrill in life, none, whatever, to feeling God use you in the life of another person. Nothing even vaguely comes close to the thrill of being used by God. And I want to tell you from experience that if you get usable, God will use you. In fact, he'll wear you out. Because God is looking for people who will yield themselves to his purpose. The F in joyful stands for focus. Focus on what's good. Once I've yielded myself to God's purpose, I need to start looking around in the world at what's God been doing. Now, as you know, life is filled with ups and downs. We have mountains and valleys. We have wins and losses. We have good times and bad times. We have critics and we have compliments. And, of course, you have a choice. Which are you going to focus on? Now, you can walk around looking at all the bad things in your life, or you can go around looking at all the good things in your life. It's your choice. Looking at the cup, is it half full or is it half empty? But it is your choice. And every day you're making that choice. What am I choosing to focus on? Listen, even on your worst day, life is good. Even on your worst day, you have it better off than many, many other people in this world. And so you can choose to focus on what is good. Paul gives us his fourth joy builder in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, fix your thoughts, that's focus, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, where do you get a list of things like that? Talk radio? Not likely. Television? Is that where you're going to find things that are true and admirable and pure and excellent? No. The newspaper? Magazines? No. There's one place you can count on. It's this book. God's Word. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more positive, the more joyful you're going to be. Because this is true. This is right. This is admirable. This is worthy of value. And so fill your mind every day. Spend some time reading God's Word. You see, in your mind, there is this scale of the negative thoughts you get every day, the negative input, and the positive input. Now, you don't have to go looking for negative thoughts. They're all over. And people are more than happy to give them to you on a regular basis. And so as you just go through life, you get a lot of pebbles put on the negative side of your brain. And if you don't counterbalance that intentionally with God's truth, with God's word, with positive thoughts and beautiful ideas, then you're going to get out of balance. And the negative is going to outweigh the positive in your life. And it's no wonder you're depressed. It's no wonder you're down all the time. It's no wonder you're discouraged. You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Why? You don't have any food to feed the soul food that's going to equal out and equalize the negative in your life. Paul says, if you want to have joy, the fourth joy builder is to build or focus on what is good. Now, Paul practiced this himself. I mean, even when he's in prison, had every reason to be bitter, every reason to complain, every reason to have a pity party. All of his friends had left him. He's alone. He's old. He's in prison, unjustly going to be persecuted and executed. And while he was in prison, Christians turned against him and were attacking him incessantly. He was criticized unjustly. Now, if there's anything that takes away our joy any faster than criticism, I don't know what it is. Just let somebody say something about how you look or about what you said or make a judgment against you. Immediately, you lose your joy. You want to retaliate. You want to get even. You want to criticize back. You start stewing in your mind. And Paul says, I don't have time for critics. I have yielded myself to God's purpose. I'm focusing on what's good. The last thing I'm going to do is let some stupid critic rob me of my joy. And so he says, I'm not even going to allow other people to take my joy from me. I don't have time to mess with critics. Now, let me make a little application here. The reason why you're unhappy a lot of the time is because you get too concerned about trivial issues. The reason you lose your joy so rapidly is that you don't focus on the things that really matter. You allow unimportant things to upset you. How many arguments in your family are really over major issues? Isn't it true that a lot of the conflict in your life, a lot of the joy, killjoys in your life, are over inconsequential things that aren't even going to matter 30 minutes from now, much less for eternity? And every time you get upset over an insignificant issue, you are letting the killjoys rob your joy for a dumb reason. Paul says, focus on what is good. That's your choice. And every day you're making a choice. Am I going to be joyful or am I going to be stressed out? You know, a couple weeks ago, I had to go pick up my car. It was being serviced at the dealer and had a very busy day. And when I got there early, I discovered that it was going to be another 30 or 45 minutes until it was done. Well, I lead a very busy life. And I had all these appointments lined up and I had everything, knowing what I was going to do. And it was going to shove the whole day off kilter, because I was going to have to wait another 45 minutes for this car. Well, I'm standing there, and I say to myself, self, what do I want to do here? Here's my choice. Am I going to get stressed out, or am I going to choose joy? Am I going to get stressed out by the fact that I can't control this, and even worrying about it isn't going to change it? Or am I going to experience joy in this moment? So I said, self, I want to be joyful. So I looked around, and I found a little park bench right there by the service bay. It was a sunny day. I looked around. Nobody was sitting there. I walked over to the bench. I sat down. I laid out on it. I kicked my shoes off. I closed my eyes. I put my hands behind my head. I let the sun come down on my face. I listened to the birds sing. I prayed that no one would recognize Pastor Rick. And for 30, 45 minutes, I just zoned out. I was in the joy zone.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways. And here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's word, listen to God's word, and live God's word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Request yours by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And remember, when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.